Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
You ain't shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
My fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof it the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have, and you know you have to hang on to it for as long as your life, because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not light. Stephen Rothschild has never spoken to Jimmy McGuinness in his life.
Armagh and Tyrone will have to do it all again after a dramatic fight back by Armagh saw the sides finish level in the Ulster football final at Croke Park.
Looking at back to centre-half ball with the play. Here's O'Neill in his goal-scoring position. And he sends it over the bar. A free comes by O'Neill. And away it goes again. 8 points for Stephen O'Neill. Here's a chance for McDonald. He's inside the Tyrone cover. Great save by John Devine. Armagh have it once more. Oisin McConnell. Armagh are back in business.
Puts it in for McDonald.
McDonald at the end of it. Gets a shot and it's a goal for Armagh. Incredible. And Armagh have now got the incentive. Here's Paul McGrain going for the equaliser. And there it is.
Oh my God, that was close.
13 points to 11 to Armagh was the final score.
Stephen O'Neill. Scored from a difficult angle at the other side, and here it is from this side. 4 points for Stephen O'Neill. Temper is becoming a little bit frayed. But remember, these are great rivals. Neighbours, every day of their lives. Canavan goes in on McGeaney, and again, it's very sloppy, and things are getting out of control. And there's a lot of shoving and pushing and dragging, and Canavan has lost his jersey, and referee is sending him off.
Oh dear.
A straight red for Peter Canavan. He's hardly on. 60 seconds. Coming through is Oisin McConnell. Brian Duher. Not quite fouling. Oisin scores his first point from play. His fourth in this Ulster final replay. And Armagh are now 2 points to the good. The referee blows the full-time whistle. And Armagh are the Ulster football champions.
There's just one word for it. Wow. Tyrone will play Kerry in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final after they defeated Armagh by a single point in their semi-final at Croke Park.
The players give everything they had, and in so many times in the past, this Armagh team, coming to the last 5 minutes, normally would pull away or dig out the result.
We have the healthiest of respect for each other. We certainly are rivals. Why wouldn't you be? Because you're playing against one of the best teams in the country at the minute, and as I said, over the last number of years.
The people who are painting us, you know, I think we're doing it very unfairly, and we shouldn't have to go out every Sunday to prove something. You know, we proved yesterday what good footballers we are. You know, give us the respect we deserve, because we give it to everybody else.
That was Joe Kernan and Mickey Hart on together on Off the Ball on the Monday after the All-Ireland semi-final. I think that was the last clip there. So obviously they were the sounds of 2005. And I'm delighted to say we've got Enda McGinley and Joe McMahon on one side of the room, and we've got Paul Hardy and Enda McNulty on the other side. You're all very welcome, lads. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Do you all talk to each other now, or do you still hate each other?
Absolute
as tumbleweed flows through the studio.
Very good respect, I'd say, more than anything else. We had some brilliant battles down the years. Good respect for the guys. More than anything else, we're all Gaelic footballers. No matter what jersey we're on our back, we're all, you know, hugely cognizant of the efforts and the sacrifice you make over the years. So brilliant respect between both counties. Today, there's not too much respect, I'm sure, at 4 o'clock, but after the game, let's shake hands and we move on.
Yeah, so you did hate each other at the time. Now you're, this peace has slowly...
Yeah,
a decade on.
To be honest, you never really hated anybody from Tyrone. We always had big respect. You knew you had to be on your game. You knew to expect a game that was going to be colossus in terms of the mental and the physical challenge, but never any hatred, to be honest with you.
Was the 2003 game the first big game you had? Because there's loads of pre-season matches. Like, the 20,000 showed up to a game in Casement Park at one point.
So it was six.
Yeah, so even after all this.
That was after the trilogy of 2005, and the thing was just at its zenith, really. And then, like, that was mad going into that I remember going on the bus into Casement Park and you're just thinking, what is it? Because McKenna Cup, you're not in great shape. And you're coming in and you're thinking,
it must be McKenna Cup now, isn't it?
20,000 people showing up for a McKenna Cup game and you're just saying, oh Christ, well, I definitely have to try and play today, you know? But yeah, that was at its absolutely peak. But for me, it's interesting coming in this week because everybody's talking and looking back now in them games as a classic rivalry. And I heard somebody say that the 05 semi-final was one of the best games. You know, it would stand up there with all matches of all time.
Yeah.
Yet at the time, the big sort of trend and the chat would have been about how Tyrone and Armagh were destroying the game and how, you know, it was such negative football and all of that. And yet looking back, I think people are only appreciating in hindsight just how much of a battle and how amazing them games actually were.
I think it's because of the quality of the players involved. Like, there were really great players playing at the absolute peak of their careers, and even how Tyrone managed to rest the final few years out of Canavan at that point as well. That, I think that's all important in framing that. But also, the analysis at the time was clearly rubbish.
Well, it's always, look, it's the benefit of hindsight. I think Irish people in general, we always look back on the older days as somehow better than the present, and I think that's just the way it always is.
When were you guys first aware then that this Armagh team was special? Like, did you have a rivalry with them at underage level, or was it literally that senior team in 03?
Yeah, I don't think the lads could correct me, but I don't think we really crossed swords that much at underage level. Though my memory of it was we sort of came in as a younger team. We came in from the 98 minors and the 2000-2001 under 21s. Armagh were already winning Ulsters at that stage, so Armagh were there and probably should have won in All-Ireland earlier. And for my money, Armagh won in All-Ireland late in 02, whereas we managed to win in All-Ireland early in 03 when we were all still 22, 23. Armagh had been knocking on the door a brave bit before 02.
Yeah, I think the first sort of experience I had, maybe you and the other thought, was that the Tyrone boys coming through were special, was that Joe Cairn had just finished off with Cross and Oliver Short and Joey Cunningham came in, and we played a friendly against the Tyrone under 21 team. I think, I don't know, and if you were there, Joe, were you there that day? Yeah. I played in Cross, and we were getting ready for championship, but most of the nucleus of that team would have been playing. Stephen O'Neill, Kevin Hughes, yourself, Philip Jordan, I'm sure a whole heap of others, Conor Gormley, and
not a bad team.
Not a bad team to start off with, is it? And I'm sure helped by a few others, I just can't recall. I think that was 0-1 we played that game, and absolutely trounced us, you know. And we were only after winning an Ireland club probably about 18 months before that.
Yeah.
And we probably were out the county players, but it was 20 points in, like, it was humbling.
Right, okay.
And that was the first you know, experience I had of coming across this Tyrone team this after winning minor and coming through, and there's obviously one on the 21 as well. And you know, that was my first taste on them. I knew, obviously, when they do that to a club team and on the 21 team and us with a lot of older players and more experienced players. And that was the first sort of experience we had. So we knew that something was special was coming out of Tyrone at that time. So,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't a shock.
The 2003 All-Ireland Final, which Tyrone win by a goal, it's 12-9, and the score kind of looks like there's a bit of daylight between you, but obviously there's the famous Conor Gormley and Stephen McDonald block, which saves a goal and probably a replay. How much expectation heading into that game ended did you have about what you were facing against Tyrone, and how familiar were you at that point with them?
Yeah, my job going into the Tyrone games was always very easy. It was Mark and Peter Canavan. So in a way that it was just a laser-like focus on doing all you could do to be ready to Mark Canavan, which was an incredibly difficult challenge. So I didn't focus really on the hype and the razzmatazz and the expectations and the build-up and obviously the local rivalry. I just focused my mind completely on Mark and Peter, who everybody in the country still to this day would have huge respect for. My expectations was on what do I have to do to keep this guy scoreless. But to be honest with you, looking back on it, I was absolutely stupid in that final. And the reason for it was that Peter wasn't fit hardly to sprint. He wasn't fit to, you know, have good agility that day because of his ankle was wrecked. So in hindsight, I was playing with insanity that day because I really should have moved on to, let's say, Stevie or on to, let's say, Mulligan or whatever it was, because Peter was nowhere nearly at his best that day. I'm sure he'd admit it now in the aftermath. However, it was genius what he did that day. He wasn't near his best, but yet he orchestrated the whole attack for Tyrone. His communication, I remember, was exceptional in that game, Ger.
How, what's he doing? Who's he saying? Who's he speaking to?
He was always good. He was like almost like a quarterback playing in the forward line. He'd be telling the guys to leave a bit of space, Paul McNulty out of the way, take Francie over to the right, Stevie. He'd be always communicating constantly. constantly, telling the guys where to run, when to run, when to stay, when to hold, when to put it in early, and especially obviously when the ball is out of play. But a lot of, and these guys will know more about this than I do, obviously, a lot of it would be communication that wasn't verbal, signalling to each other, you know, when to go down the left hand side, when to take a break and get your breather at the half back line if you're Doher and you've made three or four runs back. I thought he was a master class at that, let's say, non-verbal communication.
Had you already got a rivalry with them up to that point? Because it feels like that's the first time that the rest of the country properly starts to pay attention. Obviously, it's an All-Ireland final. They probably should have been paying a bit of attention beforehand. But had you played them much over the previous years?
Yeah, my debut in Inter-County Football Championship level was against Tyrone. I hadn't played any McKenna Cup, any league games. My first ever competitive game for Armagh was in the championship in Omagh in 1997. And again, straight away you got to be aware of the strength of these guys. Tough, hard, very fit, incredibly determined, and similar with the Armagh boys, you know. So there was no quarters asked or given, just really intensive battles even from then. 97, when I first got to realise the talent that Tyrone were developing, to be honest with you, probably was at Queen's University.
Right.
When I was up at the Dub Pavilion and somebody said, there's going to be a really talented young fella here today and you're going to market him, I want to see what he's made of. And Desi Ryan actually said that to me, and the guy's name was Cormac McAnallan, God rest him. And for that 55 or 60 minute practice game, then I got to understand just how good these guys are, what sort of talent they're breeding, what sort of, let's say, potential they're creating at all levels in Tyrone football.
Yeah, so were you guys confident enough heading into that All-Ireland final, that, like, despite the fact that you were the young team in 03?
I was too young. I was sitting in the upper Jusic watching.
Yeah, look, we took our lead. Armagh winning in 02 pretty much changed our mindset. We sort of believed we could be winning All-Ireland. But we looked at that Armagh team and felt we were as good as them. And so when we seen them winning the All-Ireland final in 02, we were all sitting at home, and we spoke about this afterwards. We were all speaking at home and saying, why is that not us? So from that moment on, Mickey came in, obviously in charge of us in 03, and that he's just a born winner. And just, Joe would tell you, like, his preparation, particularly for All-Ireland finals, is just phenomenal. Like, we left our meeting rooms and there wasn't a shred of doubt. You were there in 05 and 08. It was the same in 03. There wasn't a shred of a doubt that we were winning that game. And that's all I remember, that it was there was nerves. It's a big match, absolutely. We still knew we had to go out and perform. We knew the things that we were working on. But in our minds, we had that final won, done and dusted. Now, I'm sure in the Armagh camp they were thinking the same, but just Mickey Hart, his preparation for that final. And we had huge belief in ourselves. We knew we had a good team, and we certainly didn't see ourselves as young fellas yet. The vast majority of us were 21, 22.
Yeah.
At that stage, Sean Kavanagh was 19, our goalie John Devine was 19. Like, young lads, you'd be looking at it now thinking that it's unbelievable. Yet in that team and in that environment, there was just complete confidence. And the likes of Peter, the likes of Chris Lawn, the likes of Brian Doerr, having them boys there was so important for the rest of us young boys. But there was that confidence or naivety of youth, whichever you want to call it. But
yeah, it's good to have a bit of both, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Mick Foley has tweeted to say he thinks that the negative criticism around Armagh and Tyrone came from the 2003 game. The 2002 and 2005 were always admired as great games, two brilliant, fearless teams. I don't remember the 02 game. What happened in 02?
In those championship in 02, we went to a replay, and Armagh won the replay, and again, it was a very intense battle. It was very, very little in it, and again, we came through it. And when we won that game, we actually had far more belief in ourselves, what we were capable of doing, because we knew that Tyrone had won so much in minor, under 21 level, and so on.
I think we'd won the National League won the National League in 02. Yeah.
Is that under the joint managers, that Art McCrory?
That was Art and Eugene's last year.
Okay. Yeah. 01 as well. I think he beat us in the first round in 01. Yeah. I think I remember Muggsy scoring the goal within 10 seconds, do you remember?
And then Tierney was joking after the goal, he was shouting, I think, taxi with Tierney at that stage. But himself.
Yeah, so there was championship encounters from 01, 02, 03, wee break in 04, and then you had the trilogy in 05.
Yeah.
So we knew each other fairly well. Like,
I'd say so, yeah. Familiarity breeding love and friendship and all that kind of stuff as well. Well, so let's move forward then to 05. That's your first year on the panel, Joe, is it?
I came in 04.
Right.
So I had a bit of time to prepare myself for the battle of 05. But, I mean, 05 was an amazing year. We had 10 games. We come through to win the All-Ireland that year. And obviously the Ulster final, the first game, sort of looking back, it was... on the day itself, I mean, we got an excellent start. I think we went about four or five up, and it was the Stevie O'Neill show. I think he had scored about 7 or 8 points. I mean, that year he was unmarkable, and it turned out Francie Bailey was marking him, and then Enda, you took up the reins from there. I'm not sure if he scored from when you went on to him, but I think at that stage he had about 7 or 8 points from play.
Too late. It was too late going on to him. Yeah, he had so much damage done.
And I mean, even throughout that game, I think, was that the game Aaron Kiernan had a free kick about 13 yards? He kicked it and John Devine caught the ball behind the lane.
Hawkeye
might have had something to say back then, but... Yeah. And then Armagh went up, they got a goal. I think Stevie picked the ball off the ground, then Sheen picked the ball off the ground, and they got the goal from it. Probably justice they would feel from that. But the games themselves, and obviously went to the replay. Armagh that day, they got an excellent start, and we were chasing the game, and then we sort of found ourselves and got ourselves back into the game again. And with the introduction when Conor Gormley got down, I think Paul McGrain probably found himself very lucky that day. There was a couple of yellow cards Michael Collins was handing out, and I think it was a stage he had fouled. I think it was him or McGinney fouled Gormley. Gormley went down, and then Mickey decided to introduce Peter Canavan and Owen Mulligan, and the rest is history. Is it?
So what happens is, don't spare us any of the details here. So Canavan comes on, and I think the ball didn't play for 4 seconds before the red card. Well, there's no whatever happened, he gets sent off. What did happen?
It was
a schmuzzle. Let's go on. What it was a schmuzzle. We all know the definition of that. No, it just seemed to be a bit of argy bargy. Canavan somehow got wrestled to the ground. I think Kieran McGeever was around him, which mightn't be the biggest surprise. Next thing, Canavan got pulled out of the ground on his back, and the jersey got stripped up. That's how his jersey got off, and somehow Canavan got sent off. Canavan got sent off for getting pushed over in the melee and getting dragged out backwards. It was just, look, and that game, I think we were going, Armagh had started really well, and we were going really well. We were at top, and I think we were going to do a job that day. And then he got put off. I don't know whether Stevie had got put off just before it or just after.
It was after that, I think.
What, 2 minutes after, and that was Stevie's first yellow, but Collins confused, he just was having a bad day, thought it was his second yellow, and that was, we had lost Stevie and Peter within 2 minutes, and the wheels came off, and Armagh just they turned it on. We,
so you're down to 13 men for how long, about 15-20 minutes or
we've been around that, yeah. And then we were lucky then to keep racing in the field at the end.
He went down and he was saying prayers or something on his knees, wasn't he? And John McIntyre.
I thought it was an advantage for Tyrone Dunoo's that game. I think sometimes winning Ulster and, you know, winning back-to-back games in Ulster Championship, you don't really understand your weaknesses until it's too late. Because obviously after that one defeat and you're going out of the Championship, whereas getting beat early in the Championship or even after an Ulster Championship final, then you go back and you regroup, you find out, okay, what do we need to really develop in order to win the All-Ireland?
Yeah.
And I think Tyrone did that really, really well over that 10-year period. We didn't do it as well because we won 7 Ulsters.
Yeah.
So that means we were only really figuring out our mistakes and our failures when we were out of the Championship. I think Tyrone have been the best team at going the back door, as you've said, in terms of that, let's say, 10-game series. Other teams have been good at that in the last 10 years. I would say Kerry have been pretty good at it. Outside of that, Tyrone and Kerry, not too many others.
Just to pick up on your point, and I always remember being beaten in the replay, and I think we were out, we stayed down in Dublin that night, and I was out with McGuigan, and he foresaw that there was a possibility of meeting Armagh again, and even then he felt confident that we would get one up on Armagh, because he had said himself that you would almost take your eye off, that was your job done against Tyrone, you'd won the Ulster title, that was it. And whereas we were drawn in again, we knew we had to be focused again, and we would get that opportunity and wouldn't let it go past us for the third time.
That night out, that was we essentially, in my money, we won the All-Ireland that night out. We very rarely, like Mickey is a teetotaler and would be dead against the drink, dead against lads going out, and so we very rarely, and it's one of my regrets anyway, we very rarely went out as a thrown team. And that Ulster final, it was, I think, a bank holiday weekend maybe, and we stayed down on the Saturday night, and it was a last minute thing after the match. None of us really was in the mood for it, but as these things go, we all headed out, and it was one of the few nights we all headed out together.
A heavy night.
It was a good night.
Where tell us about it. Where did you end up?
Where do you think we ended up? Coppers. And there was inevitably, I got fired into a wall by Conor Gormley. Conor doesn't drink, but we ended up, there was a wall broke in Castle Knock Hotel over the head of it, and there was various ramifications the next morning.
I think there might have been a bed found out in the pond out in the hotel too.
The irony of it was the manner of the Ulster final loss the illusion of the Peter and Stevie and them strange circumstances, the fact that at that stage we were going really well. Armagh beat us, but we didn't feel worse than them. And yet we knew, and after that night out, the bond within the team, the loss was gone. I mind travelling up the road, the bus was buzzing travelling up that road, and we couldn't wait to get back at it, because we could. You could see a very clear path that we were probably lining up Armagh in the semi-final, and then hopefully another crack at Kerry. And just who we hadn't really got the credit for beating in 0-3. And so driving up that road the next day with slight sore heads and everyone else, we felt we had that all Ireland well in our sights.
Who do you end up in the qualifiers against before you get back to the...
Monaghan.
Monaghan.
Played Monaghan the final round of the qualifiers.
And then in the quarters...
Dublin replay.
Okay, that's the Dublin replay.
Yeah, Dublin replay.
Because in that...
Munchie's goal.
Yeah, but in that Dublin game, it doesn't... You don't have the appearance of a team who feels and looks like you're confident they're going to win the All-Ireland, because there's like five or six changes at half-time or in between the draw and the replay in the Dublin game, isn't there? Like Conor Gormley goes to centre-back.
Conor Gormley goes... Full-back. That's the day Gavin Devlin was getting a bit of a run-around in the first half, and he goes off, and there's a wholesale rearrangement. Yeah, he went to midfield, which was a major move. And again, the team sort of found himself that day. Muggsy had been struggling. I remember well Muggsy having a conversation with me before that 0-5 Dublin game. He was for leaving the panel because he just was out of form. He was getting subbed. He was struggling to start, and he was struggling in that first Dublin match. That's and right. Then he went and done what he'd done with the goal,
and that transformed him.
And that transformed him. It sort of transformed us as well. In fairness, like that goal, and just seeing him do that, I suppose, reminded us what we've got in the squad too.
Yeah,
and he'd done the same in the replay as well.
I think that's the beauty of the back door. You sort of begin to find yourself and find a bit of a settled team. And if you look at Armagh there, even currently, they probably see themselves as having that sort of current or that settled team, and boys find themselves, and it gives you that bit of confidence too, and getting to know each other and what their game is, and getting them regular games. And I mean, as I say, we had 10 games that year, and have you ever heard of a championship of 10 games being played and going to win it? I mean, it was an unbelievable year, and just everything that comes together, and certainly have that bit of element of luck to it as well. But we can count ourselves lucky to come through the Dublin game and the circumstances that we did in the end of.
Yeah, just to go back to a couple of those, the earlier games that you guys in Armagh were involved in. Stephen O'Neill actually scores 10 points that day, which is a ludicrously brilliant performance. He scores 10 out of 14. You were probably Martin Canavan for most of it.
Yeah, and then I was switched on to Stevie later on. It was probably too late. Francie's an incredible footballer, but just that day he had an off day, wasn't like him, and Stevie was just on fire. But what I thought was interesting with those series of games was Tyrone had a bit of a tactical edge. I always thought pound for pound and man for man, you know, they're two very similar teams. One big regret we would have is that tactically we got a few things wrong in those big games. Certainly in the 0-5 semi-final, no question about that. And then even if you go back to 0-3, everybody talks with the referee and, you know, what happened with Jimmer being sent off and so on. What I would say more than anything else would be we weren't just right tactically on the day. We got a few things wrong. We left ourselves too wide open at the back, for example, in that particular day. Whereas normally Armagh had built a defence that was really rock solid with two lanes of three and maybe one guy dropping in. And for about 25 minutes in that game, I can vividly remember being 60 yards between myself and my brother Justin and maybe the next line of defence.
Yeah.
So we still only could be about 3 points.
So you would have played a sweeper for most of the season, but for whatever reason in the All-Ireland final...
Some were cute. So Mickey, obviously, one of the best guys tactically ever in Gaelic games. I thought he did a really good job on us to try and isolate us, to try and leave loads of space in front of Hill 16 and the Canal End, and thus it's easy to score points for any forward at any level if you get loads of space and early and good ball coming in.
Yeah.
Normally we had it really well sorted out, but for whatever reason we were isolated for too many times in those games.
Okay, and from the 0-3 experience, there's no learning in 0-5.
I don't think we learned well enough. I think one of the big things in the 0-5 game was that we were rocking. Our man was absolutely rocking that day. I think in hindsight, Kieran McGinnion brought off with 10 minutes before the end. I think it was a big factor because every one of the Tyrone players, you could see them visibly, physically stepping up, sticking their chest
even,
out.
Even Sean Chavney, I think, got a point. He went straight up the middle, not long after McGinnion was taken off, and he banged one over the bar, and that wasn't happening up until that point.
Yep. And I think it was more the psychological impact it had on Tyrone rather than even the tactical thing for us, because you don't go through the middle of the defensive gaiters there as he's going to hit anything that moves with a shoulder, you know. And he was incredibly good at hitting or getting a tackle on or getting a block on.
But the GPS that he hasn't moved enough.
I think the funny thing about 05...
Is that true? Is it a GPS decision or did something else happen?
No, I think it was a multifactorial decision. Joe had been really, really good at making decisions, so he probably got that day maybe 25 decisions right and maybe one decision wrong.
Yeah.
I think it was he wanted more pace in the back line. He thought it was Armagh were going well, looked like we'd close the game off, and he probably thought, let's get more pace in. At that stage, he actually brought me in. That was the only game against Tyrone I never started. I didn't start the game. He brought me in to go on to go one on one on Canavan.
Yeah. So I think Paul Duffy came on for Geezer then too, didn't he?
Yeah.
But I think, funny enough, as you say in 05, that the two holds, the final and the replay, you know, you could effectively say that we probably stole it because you boys were going so well in the two holds, the finals. We came back twice. Mm-hmm. To win it in, you know, Stevie picked the ball, or Oisin picked the ball up to him and got the goal. I think the first and foremost, the thing I remember that first game was the heat. Unbelievable heat, excuse the language. And after that, then we came back and
which
we got the draw.
The hot days, the Ulster final? The
first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was serious. I think it was about 25, 26 degrees. And then the replay, you know, as you say, you're going well and you thought you're probably going to do a number on us, and then the two guys get sent off and we managed to come back and Pippi is at the post. And then, you know, but I think in 05 in the semi-final, I think that was probably the game that we probably played our best football, and, you know, we probably played better than the first two, and probably was the game we should have won most, although, you know, there was probably decisions that didn't go our way and bits and pieces that didn't go right for us. But you know, that 05 semi-final, as I remember, you know, it was probably the best game of football between the two teams that we've ever played, you know, between 03 and the two previous Ulster finals. So, you know, the quality of football, as you were mentioning earlier, and like when you look back, maybe I don't think there is rose-tinted glasses looking back at them games. They were unbelievable, you know, and, you know, the build-up in around Armagh, in around Tyrone and the Bother Eyes, and the banter and the jargon, unbelievable. And I was working in Dublin at the time, and even the guys that I worked with in Dublin who were from all around the country, the one thing on their lips every day you're in was, what about the football, what about the game, lads, what's going to happen, he's going to be at these boys this weekend, or, you know, everybody had an opinion, everybody had a crack, and you know, it really was some time to be playing football. We were so lucky to go through them years, playing at the highest level.
And I think,
you know,
it transferred to the crowd, because I think the All-Ireland semi-final, because of all the previous matches and Tyrone have been so long, I think there might have been only maybe 40,000-50,000 at it. And like, we've all played in Croker when she's absolutely stuffed. But the tension, and I've seen Philly Jordan comment on it during the week, and it just brought it back to me. He said the whole game there was this hum coming out of the stands. It was just every person there was so invested in it.
Yeah.
I think there probably wasn't many neutrals at it because they got fed up watching Tyrone Armagh at that stage and all the other games. But for Tyrone Armagh, it was two full counties, and that whole match, there wasn't an ounce given or asked. The two teams, it was just going toe to toe. And it was, I would fully agree, that was Armagh's best performance of them games. And where Tyrone, we felt we were the better in the first two games, yous were the better that day. And it's ironic the way it has worked out. We won the game where we probably didn't deserve to win, you know, but we'd certainly prefer the Ulster semi-final.
Exactly.
Woodsy says, "Hi lads, I was working security at the 2003 final just to the right of the tunnel. The vibrations from the roar of the crowd as both teams ran onto the pitch shook the ground. To this day, it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck." There is something special about a rivalry like that, though, that actually brings the best out of teams. And it seems that maybe by the 05 semi-final, most of the schmozzles had been parked in a way. I mean, I'm not saying that it was any less physically intense than the other games, but it seemed like I was thinking
about this funny during the week. For me, I think the GA tradition, I suppose, would be to always try and soften up and ask them questions of the opposition. By that stage, we'd sort of got fed up asking them questions of them. We sort of knew these boys aren't going to budge. They know we're not going to budge.
Let's just play football.
It was still fairly okay. A hard brand of football. Unfortunately, I ran into Francie that day and I didn't see the final whistle. But anyway,
what happened?
It was just a ball going in, and Francie, obviously, if you're going in to win a ball or meet up Francie, the knee tends to meet you first, which is quite an interesting.
That was a shoulder ender. That was a shoulder. Well, that man has a pair of shoulders like 6-inch breathe blocks.
I swore my leg was broke. Mind at half time, the pain I was in was just desperate. But anyway, so I watched the second half from the stands. Mind Mickey Hart had managed to last the last 5 minutes of the first half, and I was barely able to move. I can see myself still on the camera going for a ball and sort of hopping along to it, and then Mickey pops the head in the door. Well, Andy, you good to go in the second half? I just know Mickey got a mission.
So,
but anyway, I watched it from the stand and just joined with everybody else, the sheer tension of the day.
Were you back for the final?
I didn't train the 3 weeks. It was only 3 weeks with all the replays. Sweet, it was only 3 weeks. It was so quick. So I didn't train until the Wednesday or Thursday before the final. I made the final, but I've never been as exhausted in a pitch in the final, because obviously the 05 final was a classic game thrown in Kerry. That was an immense final too. Peter came on for me with 20 to go, I think.
All right, we've got to take one quick break. 53106 is our text number here. All our GAA on News Talk is with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. You can keep up to date and follow the hashtag Hurling to the Core. We're listening to Enda McGinley and Joe McMahon and Paul Herity and Enda McNulty. If anybody has any questions for the lads, now would be a good time to text them in on 53106. We'll be right back after these.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, you're very welcome back. We've got Enda McGinley, Joe McMahon, Paul Herity and Enda McNulty whetting our appetites for this afternoon's game by reminiscing about one of the most intense rivalries that we've really had in Gaelic football over the last 25 years or so. If anybody has any questions, you can text us here on 53106, or you can tweet the show at Off The Ball. Mark McChrystal says, really enjoying the chat. More bad language, please. I'm not promising anything. I'm definitely
apologies
not promising anything.
Enda,
that Ulster final, I mean, obviously winning an Ulster title is really important and everything, but I guess I probably know the answer to this already. Is it devalued significantly, or can you isolate that and go, that was a great day, we had a massive win against one of our rivals in Croke Park, or what happens later down the line which costs you a chance to win another All-Ireland?
Yeah, the fact that we won 7 Ulsters and won 1 All-Ireland, we'd be disappointed with. We knew the team was good enough to win 3 or 4 All-Irelands, and we've got big regrets on that. We'll go to our graves with those regrets. We'll also go to our graves with a lot of pride in the team that we created, the leaders that we created, and some of those leaders will be in Croke Park today, the friendships we created, you know, the spirit that it created amongst the community, both the Armagh and the Tyrone community. Huge amount of pride and satisfaction in terms of what we created, in terms of the character, serious character in those men. You know, for the rest of our lives, we know we can knock on any one of their doors and say, listen, I'm in trouble here, can you help me out? So very proud of all those things. Of course we've got regret. We knew we were good enough to beat any team in the country during that 10-year period, and for different reasons on the big day, whether it was a tactical, let's say, mishap on our behalf, whether it was a mental mishap, or whether it was, you know, making a wrong decision at the wrong time, we knew we were good enough to win 2 or 3 All-Irelands. There's no question about that.
It seems funny given how many leaders there are in the team, like at the time clearly festooned with leaders, and also subsequently we see just who you all have become, and that tactical nuances, that evolution of the team didn't happen, that you guys weren't strong enough somehow to see it, diagnose it and implement it.
Well, I'd look at myself. I wouldn't look at anybody else. I'd look at myself and say, why, for example, when I was marking Peter Cameron, when he was hardly fit to walk in that 0-3 final, why didn't I switch on to Stevie or Mulligan, who were a bigger threat to us at that stage? I would first of all look at myself, and I've analysed this over and over in a lot of gym sessions I've done since, or runs, or just even driving or reflecting or travelling around the world and reflecting. And we'll start with, you know, I thought we brought the standard of Gaelic football to a totally different level in 0-2. Our training camps in La Manga, our psychological preparation, our tactical, our physical, our mental, across the board, we brought it to a different level. In Furness of Throne in 0-3, they brought it to another level again. For us to go and win it in 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, we had to bring at least 20, 30% more. I don't think we did. And as leaders and as coaching panel and as backroom staff, we all would, let's say, be culpable for that, for not raising the bar 20 or 30 or 40% more. And we were well capable of doing that because we had the leadership horsepower to go and do that.
Yeah, but you must have been having those conversations. You must have thought that you were doing a 20-30%.
Yeah, I alluded to this earlier on, Joe. I think part of that was because we won the Ulsters. Because you don't really get together and regroup, therefore, when you win an Ulster and you get knocked out in the quarterfinal or the semi-final or the final, you don't really regroup until the next year.
Yeah.
So if you are knocked out early in Ulster, you have to regroup in the next week, the next night, as the guys are saying in Dublin, a night out. So then you get to really analyse and appraise, what the hell's going wrong here, guys? Let's step up to the plate and identify who is not making the tackles, who's not tracking back, and normally those things, by the way, are a bigger indicator of successful teams than who's making the support run in the forward line.
Yeah, that recasting of the team in the middle of the Dublin replays, how does that happen? How does that come about? What's driving all that? Like, when you're getting told you're going to midfield, are you like, grand, or okay, I understand my role, or what?
Well, what's the in-house games? You know, it hasn't been hidden or before that we have good, intense in-house games. We don't go looking games outside of the county. And Mickey, probably watching us within the games, had the faith that fellas could come in to particular positions and do a job. And with the year that was in it and with so many games being played, you know, there was times that had come and we had a come in and play them positions, yeah, whether it was due to injuries, whether it was due to form. And probably that belief in the management team, that belief in each other, that we were able to come in and play in those positions, and knowing each other's games so well, I feel too, from playing the in-house games, from playing against each other club, and certainly playing from underage right up through to senior level, that belief and confidence that you could go out and perform on the day at that position.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like it was by accident rather than by design, that in the middle of that Dublin games you're struggling in certain parts, and suddenly what looks like significant changes being made, and then and players blossom into those roles.
Well, it's probably leadership's a big part of it too.
Like,
isn't it?
I'd always put down, whilst we had endless meetings and video analysis, and Mickey would, you know, approach, you know, you'd have three different meetings, and you'd recall this well. The questions would be, right, why do we want to win this game? What do we need to do to win this game? And what the opposition, what way are the opposition approaching this game? Mm. What way are the opposition going to approach us? And this is full team meetings, like they were endless and on and on. And everyone was up on the board. And this was the whole season for multiple seasons. And we had 10 games that year. And every game was approached the same way, multiple meetings, multiple talking. But you very much sense then, come then bigger games at the end of the year, the team was just talking the whole time on the pitch, and you felt, I remember feeling as if no matter what happens on this pitch, we're sort of all pre-programmed, so whether by accident, but Mickey, and it was probably, he didn't mean that to come out of that them meetings, but essentially on the pitch, we all felt, right, let's figure this out. What are they doing? What do we need to be doing? Right, let's get talking, let's get moving. So now Mickey and Tony Donnelly, probably, I'm not sure if it was Tony came up with the idea or Mickey came up with the idea about Horst coming out, your move to midfield and everything else, but it, and Connor going to centre half back, it worked an absolute treat. But on the pitch, in terms of your ability to make something work on the pitch, them endless meetings and being able to just figure things out and always think your way through it as a team and know that all the other players were doing that too, I think that stood to us.
But even as I said, leadership, you know, different boys stood up at different times of each of the games, and each of the fellas were inspired by that, and they seen that, and they all just pulled together. I mean, for example, you look at the Muggsy goal, that goal not only lifted his season, but it just lifted us in that moment in time.
Yeah.
And I think he went on to win an All-Star from mm-hmm. a player that felt it wasn't yeah. going to be on the panel much yeah. longer, to turn around and win All-Ireland and an All-Star.
When that moment happens, do you guys realise that it's like one of the all-time great goals? Are you aware that, ooh, is it instantaneous as that?
I'd sprinted alongside him the whole way from 50 yards in.
And you're palming it in.
Each of them dummies, it wasn't just the Dublin defenders getting sold. I was sure, right, I've got this. No, he didn't pass me. I've got this.
I'm glad it was
me.
You, anybody else who would have passed it to them.
No, there was me and McGuigan, both of us going the whole way. Ah, well, no, it was some goal. It was just, having had the conversation with him the night before, you just were so happy, so delighted for him. Like, and it's just typical of the man. Only he could have done it. You know, he was a unique talent.
The 05 semi-final was the best match I was ever at. Tension was unbelievable, even as a neutral, says this texter. A last-minute cancellation of a club match allowed me to attend such a memorable occasion. I did want to ask, are the Tyrone lads glad that Muggsy copped out on the last free? He looked petrified. That nervous laugh was clearly a cover-up.
Yeah. He didn't want to take it.
Yeah, funny. My wife was looking at the game last night, and just it was the tension that made that free, you know, but Peter was adamant that he was taking it. Like, I think that conversation only went one way, really, and I suppose Muggsy was waiting, and Muggsy could have hit it, and I think he probably would have got it, but it was made for Peter, and if he had missed, Peter's shoulders could have taken that as well,
yeah,
if you know what I mean. And I think that's a big thing. That's a huge responsibility, and you have to, the hero worship that Peter had, that wouldn't really count, but missing it, Peter could have dealt with that too.
Yeah. When they took McGeaney off, what were you thinking?
Game on. As I said, you know, Kieran in terms of his influence in a game and how he holds a position and he keeps the whole unit together. I mean, not too many times as a team you're going to attack down the middle and break through Kieran McGinney, and if you do, you have to work for it. And certainly, as I pointed out before, we broke, not long after Kieran went off, we broke a pace. I think we won the ball around the middle. Sean just drove up the middle right where that man would be and he banged the ball over the bar and we were able to kick on from that. And certainly it had a part to play, we felt, in the winning of the game also.
Yeah, like the famous Darragh says, famous comment, which I love, you have to hit the hammer, you have to hammer the hammer. Well, Armagh subbed their hammer, which was great for us. And the other big thing I remember, one of the things we spoke often in the meetings as well, was about Armagh's last 10 minutes. Armagh just had made a habit of grinding teams down, and then the last 10 minutes Armagh were always stronger. If Armagh had you in that last 10 minutes, Armagh won. And we spoke often about it and analysed it and thought about it, and that last 10 minutes for us, we had to go toe to toe with Armagh, and then in that last 10 minutes we had to stand up. They were not going to outfight or outplay us in that last 10 minutes, and we were ready for that.
See, you say that, right? How do you do it?
It's mindset. Mr. McNulty over there. It is mindset. It is, you're coming into that last 10 minutes and you know you've built all year. And even the Kerry matches, we prepared in a similar way, because we knew Kerry was phenomenal, but we didn't think they had been as much in as many battles as we had. So our whole tactic, really, keep with these boys to the last 10 minutes and then we'd see. We had been through the battles with Armagh, that them last, and so many championship games come down to the last 10 minutes. Your leaders stand up, every ball's a pressure kick, your decision making comes into clear focus. So the big players stand up in the last 10 minutes and the team either comes together or the wee cracks and the wee doubts start to appear. So if you've focused on that enough, I think you'll rise to the challenge of that last 10 minutes. And I think we did that, and we had to, because that was Armagh's calling card.
Yeah. Like that semi-final, here's one quick question from Aaron from Tyrone, which is a good one. Did you ever think there was too much focus on each other? I remember in 2004 you both lost to Fermanagh and Mayo when you were set up to play in the semi. Did you take your eye off those games?
Not really, I don't think so. I think, you know, we were trained really, really well, and I have to give Joe a lot of credit and Brian McGlynn a lot of credit for the way they developed the team and the culture and the systems and the professionalism in the squad. We always sort of focus one team at a time, one game at a time, one championship team at a time, and then of course you'd be looking long term, can we win the Ireland, can we win the Ulster and so on. So there was never a stage where Armagh were taking their eye off the ball in terms of this weekend, looking forward to three or four weekends down the track. A few times we did get caught. Fermanagh we got caught in 04. I don't think that was because we weren't or we were looking at throwing anybody else. To be honest with you, I would say we weren't really respectful enough of Fermanagh. We had beat Donegal out the gate in the Ulster final. We were completely rocking. I think we might have beat them by more than 15 points
yeah.
in Croke Park. And then we're pinned Fermanagh next. Sometimes it softens you. Sometimes mentally you think we have it sorted, but right, physically, mentally, tactically, technically, and so on. Whereas Fermanagh definitely caught us in the hop. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Is that Armagh's biggest hope today, that somehow Tyrone have kind of come through that front door and it's been very easy for them and it's a similar enough situation?
Well, I think you were asking there, Ger, very appropriately to the guys, you know, how do you get hardened in those last 10 minutes? First of all, you play lots of games. You play lots of in-house games. You win lots of battles, whether it's in-house or whether it's, let's say, backdoor games. Armagh have played a lot of backdoor games. They've had more, let's say, challenges of themselves. When they knew that Down beat them and gave them a good beating, they had to really look into their souls and say, you know, how do we step forward here as a unit? Unquestionably, Armagh is a stronger unit now than they were 6 to 8 weeks ago. Unquestionably. A bit like the journey the Tyrone guys were telling us about 10 years ago. So it's a very similar journey.
Yeah.
But seriously, we've played the 3-4 qualifier games and improved steadily throughout them. You know, and as you say, it's build up a bit of resolve, build up the confidence, build up the mindset to go forward. Today particularly is a real acid test for the Samoa team. You know, no disrespect to the Kildares and the Fermanaghs and the Westmeads and Tipperary's, but today they're playing up against a top three team. A team that has aspirations of winning the All-Ireland. You know, at the start of the year, did we think we'd be in the quarterfinal? You would have took your hand off. So here we are in the quarterfinal. We're facing a top three team. A team that's been through the mill. A team that wants to make up for maybe taking a day off the ball last year against Mayo in the quarterfinal, and are really focused and have a derby against their near neighbours ourselves. So this is the acid test for the Armagh team. There's no pressure on them. The pressure's all on the Ulster champions, is Tyrone. They're going forward. They have their eye on bigger prize. Maybe a juicy carrot with Dublin in the semi-final. So today is the day Rama is going to come up against really tight, well-drilled defence, which will, you know, seriously question and take away all the space from the forward line, which has done really well this last couple of games. You know, Jamie and McParland and Rory Grugan and these guys. So we'll really see what the Armagh team's made of today. Now, we've great aspirations and positivity about how they've come on so far, but it's a real test today of how to go forward. And we're talking about, can we take this Tyrone team into that final 10 minutes today and see what they're made of? You know, because, you know, Tyrone have built up a really good squad. You know, they've good men coming off the bench making a difference, which the top teams have, the Mayos and the Dublins. But equally so, Armagh, you know, air subs that has come on the last few games have made a difference. You know, Mr. O'Hanlon and Oisin O'Neill and a few other guys have come on and really made a difference. So it's coming to that time of the season now, quarterfinals, you know, squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
Where Alex Ferguson would say, and we really need to see where we're at this today.
It's a thing in Irish sport, though, where the teams who are in bonus territory or they've got nothing to lose, they tend to get crushed. There's like a real sense of like, oh, actually, we've got nothing to lose. We're in bonus territory. And that's almost like the those final 15 minutes, the excuses are already built in. Like, I totally agree with you, right? Because, you know, you would have said Armagh from Division 3, a quarter final is about as good as they can expect. I really can't wait to see some team actually use bonus territory as a springboard to cause some kind of sensation.
Exactly. And maybe with it being a derby today, Armagh maybe could use that to their advantage. You know, call it bragging rights, call it, you know, the local rivalry with Tyrone. Can that springboard this Armagh team onto new heights? You know, the questions are there. It's not up for the Armagh team to ask the questions off this Tyrone team.
Yeah,
you know,
the Tyrone lads are confident. They are just
no doubt about it.
On the basis of the performances that they've put in and the evolution of this team over the last couple of years, you guys are just pretty confident that this will be a controlled performance from Tyrone today, and that there's not very much Armagh can do that they won't have seen already.
I think the big thing for Tyrone this year is coming off the loss last year against Mayo in the quarter final. And I had alluded to it earlier, and there's been plenty of talk about it, that Tyrone have been focused on this quarter final through the whole of this year.
What was that dressing room like last year?
I mean, it was just sitting there, it was just almost disbelief. It was huge disappointment. It was, you just felt as though you left it behind, that it was there for the taking. I mean, there was stages in that game were thrown at opportunities to win, at opportunities to kick on, and we just felt that we didn't take them chances. And if you were to play that game the following day, you know, you would have went on and won the game, but you weren't going to get that opportunity. And that's probably what's drawn the focus more so this year, that you're coming in against Armagh. I would feel, maybe if it was this time last year, I would feel a bit more apprehensive about this game with Armagh, but because it's this year, they have that year behind them.
Yeah.
They've had that focus. They've been playing in Division 1. They've had a comprehensive wins within Ulster. They've blown each team away. I mean, I know a lot of has been made about the Derry result, the down result, but if, take for example, you look at the Derry result, Tyrone won convincingly, but then the next day Derry go out and play against Mayo, and Mayo stumble past Derry.
Yeah.
I mean, and having to go to extra time, but that in itself, again, you can only beat what's in front of you, as they say. But I mean, these fellas here, they're just so focused. They want to get to an All-Ireland semi-final and go from there.
It seems there's quite a different approach this year, that you're far more clinical and far more aggressive in terms of an attacking strategy. Like in the Mayo game, it was almost like you were a little bit paralysed by conservatism when you had the ball 60 metres out from goal.
I think personally, I felt, you know, that day we sat too far back. Our forward line, you talked about, and I talked about that distance between the full forward line and the half forward line. I mean, it was just huge, and we had no real outlet to get the ball up and create those scores. In contrast to this year, you look at the likes of Mark Bradley, Sean Kavanagh, Matty Donnelly, Petey Hart. These boys are outlets for the ball coming out, and then coming off the shoulder, you have Paddy Hampsey, you have Tiernan McCann, and that mix with the pace and with introduction more so this year with the long kicking strategy is certainly helping them to get more scores on the board. And only in Croke Park, as these fellas well know, them spaces can be well exploited, and I think Tyrone will take full advantage of it today.
And I remember the chat we had before the Derry game, actually, and you were still at that point a little uncertain about what the future was going to be for this Tyrone team, because the most
recent evidence that we had of a big game was that Mayo match, and obviously the league, certain aspects of play evolve, some bits are kept behind, and what we have seen is the evolution and a change in the style of play, and it has kind of unlocked a lot of the talent that we thought this Tyrone team had.
It has, but look, there's still, like, I think Tyrone's going to win today, but there is still question marks over the Tyrone team, and the key thing, like we've seen last year, they blitzed a couple of teams in last year's Championship 2. They blitzed Cavan with a phenomenal attacking display that day. Cavan committed suicide, really, but Tyrone's attacking display was top notch. They'd put in a few top notch attacking displays in the league, so Tyrone are capable of doing that, particularly against slightly weaker sides. The thing about Mayo and Donegal in last year's Ulster final, whenever they came up against a very strong defensive unit, Tyrone struggled and didn't have that belief to still commit to the attack the way they do maybe against slightly weaker sides. So today's game, it's an interesting one for me. I think Armagh's going to bring a big game, but if Tyrone, which I think win by several, them question marks will still be there. They're still going to be there until they come up again. We thought they would have been there against Donegal, and Donegal for 20 minutes did do it, but Tyrone blitzed through it, and that's a big hopeful now. Everybody's writing off that Donegal performance now, saying, we'll look at Donegal. But I think, as I was saying to you off mic, I think Tyrone broke Donegal that day, and I think Donegal's following up results, you can't read into them. But the question marks about the Tyrone attack, they do have a system of play that they know works for them. They have to produce it against the biggest teams. If it works against the biggest teams, then it's game on for the Ireland.
I would love to see Tyrone mixing their game up a little bit in relation to leaving Sean Kavanagh, say, leaving Matty Donnelly, leaving Mark Bradley. And don't be afraid to... You've seen what Kerry, the success Kerry got out of a long ball. I mean, there was times maybe something wasn't on for them and they were able to launch the ball, and they got that bit of relief, and if it comes off them, well and good. If it doesn't, they have a long distance to come and attack at the opposition goals, and I feel that if Tyrone mix their game a little bit, it'll bring a new dynamic to their game, and teams will feel maybe defensively they'll have to sit off a little bit because they know the danger of Sean and Matty and Mark Bradley inside, and then what'll that allow for Stiernan McCann, Petey Hart, Paddy Hampsey to attack that space and kick off them scores because they're well capable of doing it?
Yeah, well, that's the big question for a team like Armagh, who are just learning exactly how to implement their own strategy and game plan. If Tyrone sit back and decide that they're going to break in numbers, Armagh automatically have forwards who just drift in space, clogging up the area. There's no room to take shots, and it's a natural thing for any team to do.
I think one of the things that you have done very well, Ger, and your team here in News Talk and Off the Ball, you've done an incredible job at educating the listeners about how the game has evolved from a game plan point of view. We cannot reinforce strongly enough that the game plan in Gaelic games in the last 15 years has been transformed. And unfortunately, there's a little bit going on in the media and in the pubs and the communities and the parish halls and GA halls around the country about who wanted it more. Today, it'll be much more about the game plan that's executed by both teams, offensively, defensively. Tyrone have definitely stepped up in the last, you know, as we've said before, 12 years in that regard, no question. And Mickey Hart is a genius at it. Now, in the last 12 months, Kieran McGeaney and his backroom staff have similarly stepped up to another level. Whether the team can execute that under pressure today is a big question. Every team in the world of sport are beatable. If the All Blacks are beatable, Tyrone are beatable today. The question is, can Armagh screw a big rusty screw into their minds early, and can they screw it in often into that 10-minute period? And if they do, of course Tyrone are beatable. I think there's some formidable characters in this Armagh squad. I know there's a lot of formidable characters in the change room, and those people in the change room for the last, I would say, 12 months are building the belief, they're building that mental toughness, they're building that, let's say, ability to execute the game plan under pressure, and more than anything, they're building that esprit de corps that maybe, just maybe, can catch Tyrone by surprise today.
We heard too, Paul, that Geezer had kind of changed his role a bit more. He's doing far more coaching with the players this year, getting back to the kind of thing that he is best at, and that you're kind of seeing the evolution in the style and the confidence that the players have, and that relationship that they have and the trust that they have in him then has kind of come from that.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. You know, I think when a manager takes a hands-on role to the coaching and exactly what's going on and what way he wants his players to play, especially when it's coming from Geezer, you know, obviously a legendary player, and then, you know, he's ably assisted himself with more legends from, I suppose, the noughties, like with Paul McGrain and John Toole, and Paddy McKeever. You know, when you've these guys have been through the mill before,
and Justin,
and Justin there as well. I forgot about Justy, but when you've these guys coming along and teaching you the ropes and the reins and telling you what to do, and you know this will work and this will work if you do A, B, and C.
Yeah,
you know, and you see the results of this happening. It's just, you know, he's right. You know, if we do that, this will work, and you know that'll give the boys, as you know, you're instilling that belief into the guys. That bit of confidence and that bit of, you know, that sort of X factor into their game, you know. And if you can get all these wee small things, you know, these wee small 2 and 3% to call them, and if each player can, you know, can feed off that with Gazer's hands on ability, you know, they're going to feed off it, and you know their performances will improve. And you know, there's no doubt in my mind that an upset is possible today. You know, I think we had experienced before, Joe. I suppose, you know, with Oma and Cross, you know, we were red hot favourites in an Ulster club match a couple of years ago, and Oma got us on the day and ended up winning by 4 or 5 points or whatever it was on the day. You know, so the impossible is possible. You know what I mean? We go into this game, you know, we're optimistic coming from Armagh. Obviously, we know we're going in against a top tier team, as I said before, but anything's possible in sport. We can see it. And like it just might happen today. You never know. We're not totally outsiders here today, but we're going up and optimistic. We're an improving team. We're on an upward curve. And by God, if we come up with a performance today, and maybe Tyrone just aren't at full tilt, you know, we can push this into the last 10 minutes, and then we'll see where we go.
One of the things to consider, if it's okay, is, you know, when you're playing Gaelic football and you're playing sport and you're involved with a high performance sport in general, professionally or whether it's, you know, on or off the pitch, sometimes you don't really appreciate the impact it has on community, the impact it has on the parents, you know, the families, the clubs and so on. What I've really loved about this season is going to the games almost without the emotional impact of the competitive nature of the game, but seeing the impact it has on the old men and the old women. I've really enjoyed that. And I think for the people that are driving towards the stadium, that are walking towards the stadium listening to News Talk, I think I would really, really strongly say that what the players have created is that sense of enjoyment, that the biggest weekend of their years. So these guys sitting across the table from us, they've created that for 10 years and more. Paul Hurdy, the Kieran McGinnies, the Paul McGrains and so on, they've created that amazing experience for GAA community right around the world to enjoy, you know, on a Sunday in September or maybe a Sunday in August. So we're really, really lucky to experience that today. That's what I'm looking forward to more than anything else, is to meet those friends. Yes, to sit and talk to the Tyrone guys and have a bottle of beer after the match. I think unfortunately when you're a player, you don't enjoy that enough. That's what I'm cherishing most of this summer, is enjoying those interactions.
Did you have any of those big nights out that the Tyrone lads managed to win the All-Ireland with that night?
Unfortunately, that night, would you believe, I was sitting having tea and biscuits with Paul McGrain, Kieran McGinney and Justin McMulty
for some crap.
that's honest to God, talking about the next game, which maybe is a lesson in that we should have had a few more beers.
We were in a different place in Cross, actually.
Alright, you've been listening to Enda McGinley, Joe McMahon, Paul Hardy and Enda McNulty. A tweet tells us both the M1 and the M2 are blocked. There'll be about 200 in Croker. The country want to host a Rugby World Cup but can't get fans up motorways. It's a joke. So hopefully we've managed to ease some of the tension in the car. So you lads are predicting Tyrone wins, and I think you two are kind of leaning towards a bit of a shock today. That's what
nothing
it seems like.
To lose. Yeah. There's always a dangerous formula.
Yes. But listen, enjoy the game, whatever happens. I've enjoyed this last hour immensely. Thanks a million, lads.
Thank you.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.